Amen. All right. Well, we are in Proverbs chapter number 8, and we'll start reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." You know, here we have a clear statement in the Word of God of things that God hates. And the Bible tells us that those who actually fear the Lord would feel the same way that God feels about these things. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride. And of course, today is June 1st, the first day of what is known as Pride Month in the United States, where unfortunately our country exalts and venerates and celebrates the wicked sin of pride. And anyone who knows anything about anything in the Word of God knows that pride in and of itself is an extremely wicked sin that God hates. And you know, recently, our church has been in local and national news for simply preaching what the Bible teaches on this subject. And it's because our country has gotten so afraid and preachers have gotten so scared, churches have gotten so watered down, that a pastor simply preaching the Word of God is somehow local and national news. And what's even funnier about this situation is that it's a sermon that was preached in 2022. It's like, da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-na, breaking news, pastor preaches in 2022. It's like, what in the world is going on? Well, it's because we have a lot of Christians that are afraid to preach what the Bible says, so much so that this is what's going on today in our country. We literally have our church in the news, and you know, people want to make us scared. People want us to be afraid of being on the news. We embrace it. We frame it. We're going to hang it at our church because we're actually proud to preach the Word of God. We're not ashamed of it. We're not scared. I'm not backing down. This is what the Bible says, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because here's the thing. I'm not surprised that sodomites hate our church. That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Of course, sodomites, they hate the Lord. They're going to hate the servants of God. They're going to hate the Word of God. And you know, even people that are just unsaved, that haven't had much exposure to the Word of God, they may just not understand these things. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you know what really makes me mad is the Christians that stand with the LGBT. The Christians that are pride-affirming. The Christians that are going to celebrate and lift up the sin of pride. Let me tell you something. Those people are fake Christians. And today we have so many fake Christians and false prophets attacking our church saying, this guy's a fake pastor. This is a fake man of God. This is a fake church. No, you're the fake person. You're the fake Christian. And we're going to show that from the Bible. Because newsflash, Christians actually believe the Bible. We base our beliefs off of the Bible, not your feelings, not your opinion, not whatever's popular and accepted in our culture today, because let's be honest, just the mainstream culture is going to push this stuff. The mainstream media, the government organizations, they're going to be pushing this wicked, satanic idea of pride this month. But let me tell you something that doesn't make it right, doesn't make it biblical. So let's look at what the Bible says. Go to Proverbs 6 a few pages back. I'm going to give you several statements on why you are a fake Christian if you celebrate pride. Number one, pride is one of the worst sins in the Bible. Not to mention the fact that Pride Month is being, you know, glorious and being prideful of a disgusting, wicked sin, even more abominable, homosexuality, but just pride in and of itself is wicked and abominable before God. Now, here's the dictionary definition of pride: a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing, conduct, etc. So having an inordinate opinion of yourself, thinking that you're so great, that you're so wonderful, that you're so dignified, that you're so worthy of merit, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished, it doesn't matter what lifestyle you live, no one should be prideful. Christians should not be prideful. The military should not be prideful. Americans should not be prideful. How much more should filthy sodomites not be prideful? Pride in and of itself is wicked. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Notice the first thing the Bible says in verse 17. A proud look. Oh, I'm a real Christian. Oh, our church is a real Christian church. We have a real Christian pastor because we back up Pride Month. Oh, you mean you stand with things that God hates? I mean, isn't the whole point of being a Christian, being like Christ, being like God, renewing our mind and lowering our opinions to the opinions of God and submitting ourselves to what the Bible says? Isn't that the whole point of being a Christian? Or is it just worshiping your own ideas, worshiping your own mind and intellect? No, folks, that's satanic. That's, what is it? Prideful. And so many Christians today are so prideful because they're standing on their opinions, their ideas, the world's opinions, instead of just listening to what the Bible says. The Bible says that God hates a proud look. How could you sit there and call yourself a Christian if you're going to celebrate a month called Pride Month? When the whole month, the Bible says God hates a proud look. God hates even the look on the face of someone who's smug and arrogant and conceited and prideful. The Bible says God hates that. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 again, where we started. Verse 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." You know, if you do not hate Pride Month, you know what you just exposed yourself for is not fearing God. If you sit there and say, oh yeah, we affirm Pride Month, we support Pride Month. Okay, well, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride. So if you support pride, you're the fake Christian because you just told us you don't fear God. You know, that is what our country is lacking today, is a fear of God. You know what people want us to fear? People want us to fear getting on the news. People want us to fear the sodomites not liking us. People want us to fear your job coming after you. You know what America should fear is God Almighty. Because by celebrating and exalting a sin that God hates, we are inviting the wrath of God on our country. And you know what a real patriot would do? Someone who actually loves their community, their state, their city, is that they would hate the things that God hates. That they would not exalt things that God hates. Hates. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And notice, what are we doing? We're looking at what the Bible says. Not my opinion, folks. My job is not to preach my opinion. I don't have an opinion on this subject. My opinion is what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Do you understand what that verse is saying? Every single person who is proud in their heart is disgusting in the sight of God, is an abomination in the sight of God. All of these sodomites, all of these homosexuals going up and down the streets of Oklahoma City, having their pride parades, God looks down and says, you're an abomination, you're an abomination, you're an abomination. Everyone, the Bible says, that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You know what else that means? If someone identifies as a Christian but celebrates pride, you are an abomination to God too. Not Anchor Baptist Church, not Pastor Oz, you, the fake Christian, the Reverend Lori Walker of United Methodist, whatever satanic church that is, that wants to talk about us in the news, you're an abomination to God. You are a disgrace to the ministry, not us. Why? Because we're preaching what the Bible says, not my opinion. And then notice the next phrase, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. What is that saying? It doesn't matter how many people you get to agree with you. It doesn't matter how many people you get to show up to your pride parade. It doesn't matter how many government officials you get to change their profile picture to a disgusting rainbow flag today. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's why the real loving person hates pride. Because by celebrating pride, you are inviting and asking for the punishment of God on America. It's not Pastor Oz that hates Oklahoma City. I love Oklahoma City. I came here to start a church to serve the people of Oklahoma City. Believe it or not, this is not my side gig. This is my main gig, despite what the media wants to tell you. No, this is why I came here. I love Oklahoma City. I love the people here. And you know what? I don't want to see it destroyed and punished by God for celebrating the wicked sin of pride. And you know, earlier in this legislative session, some Oklahoma legislators introduced a bill to basically ban Pride Month in our state and to make it to where no government agency, no government or public property could do any Pride celebrations, could have any Pride flags on its properties. And, you know, unfortunately, that bill stalled out. But you know what? We need to keep pushing for that. we need to keep going and trying to get this into law, because I'm telling you what, the vast majority of normal people are disgusted by Pride Month. The vast majority of normal people don't want to see the gross, you know, perverted, reprobate sodomites in the street. We don't want to see the fag flags all over our state. You know, we want to honor and fear God. And that's what we should do as a country. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 18, excuse me. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You know, these fake Christians, they could act all smug and act all high and mighty and act like they're so much better than us because they're so loving and they're so accepting. But you know what precedes destruction is pride. It does. And you even look at ancient civilizations that got into this wicked sin of sodomy where it was just exalted, it was commonplace, it was normal. You know, look up Pompeii. What happens? Destruction. And I'm telling you, we as a nation, if we just keep going in this direction, if we just keep celebrating pride, acting like it's normal, exalting homosexuals, exalting people that hate God, just mark my words, our country will be destroyed. This is not something that it's just like, well, it's a maybe, well, it's a kind of, my, you know, sort of. No, no, no. Pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, we don't need a Pride Month. We need to constantly clothe ourselves with humility. We as a nation need to recognize that the fate of our cities, of our states, of our country is in the hand of an almighty God who we should fear. And us as a church, we should be before the Lord with humility, submitting to his word, not just making up whatever we want, not preaching our opinion, not going against what he says, certainly. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John 2. I'm just showing you how wicked this sin of pride is in the Bible. And how any person can call themselves a Christian and celebrate pride, it just goes to show they're fake. They're the fake Christians. 1 John 2, verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, so much for your love everyone, love everything doctrine. The Bible literally says, love not the world. And that if you do, that the love of God is not in you. And it says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Notice, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know what you're telling me as a Christian? If you celebrate Pride Month, if you're a Christian ally to the Pride community, you're just telling me that you don't love God. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me, I love the world, I love Satan, I'm on the devil's team, I don't love God. That's what you're saying by loving the things that are in the world. One of those being pride. Look, go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Let's keep looking. Who are the fake Christians today? James chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Oh, you're a friend of the LGBT community? Oh, you're a friend of the Pride community? Thank you for telling us that you are the enemy of God. And you know, in a way, I kind of appreciate that these false prophets and these wicked ministers of the devil like to decorate their church with the LGBT flag and like to put all their statements on social media, because you know what they're telling everyone is, hello, we love Satan. Hello, we're the enemies of God. And it makes it clear to people who actually fear God, and it even makes it clear to just normal Joe Schmo, because there's a lot of normal people out there that maybe they haven't dedicated themselves to reading the Bible like we have. Maybe they're just normal guys that are living their life. But you know, anyone who knows anything about the Bible knows that that stuff is wicked. Right. And it just turns people off to Christianity when they hear this message from supposed ministers of Christianity, when they're just like, yeah, Satan, good. Oh yeah, drag queen, good. Oh yeah, kids at pride bars, good. It's like anyone with a brain in their head knows this is wicked. This is an abomination. This is disgusting. This is child abuse. And you know what? Our message is actually appealing to normal people. And that's why I'm never going to stop preaching it. Because anyone who is attracted to our church by this kind of message is a real one, is a good person. Because they're actually looking at what the Bible says, and they're saying, hey, that matches up with what they're saying. Anyone who opens their Bible, it's just all these verses about pride being wicked, pride being an abomination, God hating pride, you being the enemy of God, if you support, if you're a friend of the world, and then they hear all these fake pastors, oh, love everyone. Oh, we're LGBT supporting. Oh, we're LGBT affirming. Oh, our church is celebrating Pride Month. No, you're a minister of Satan. You're a fake Christian. Go to, if you would, Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. So number one, we talked about how pride is one of the worst sins in the Bible. And that's being proud about anything. That's being proud about, you know, someone being proud of being white. Someone being proud of being black. You know, that would be wicked. But how much more wicked is it when you're proud of being a sodomite? And so number two, homosexuals are some of the worst people in the Bible. The Bible does not describe homos the way that you see them on the TV, where they're friendly, they're nice, they're kind of funny, they're kind of quirky, they're people that you'd want at your kid's birthday party. No, no, no. The Bible describes them as violent predators who want to abuse and rape and kill and blaspheme and that hate God. And what are we going to do? We're going to actually look at what the Bible says this morning, not my opinion. Here's Genesis chapter number 19. Let's see what the LGBT community is like. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." So, you know, these angels are going through, and Lot's like, no, you cannot be sleeping out in the street. He pressed upon them greatly. He's like, no, you have to stay in my house. You know, you need to be safe. Come in, I'll take care of you. I'll give you provision. And then it says in verse 4, "But before they lay down," so before they went to bed, "the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round." Notice, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us," notice, "that we may know them." That, of course, is talking about in a carnal way, knowing someone, like Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived and bare a son. So here you have these wicked sodomites. They find out there's some travelers in town, there's some new game in town, and they're hanging out at Lot's house. Then it says all the men of the city, every single man that was in Sodom, compassed round about Lot's house. The Bible says both young and old, little kids, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged, old people, all different age groups, all the men of the city compassed around Lot's house saying what? Bring them out that we may know them. What is he saying? Bring out those new visitors so that we can rape them is what that verse is saying. Doesn't say they're nice people. Doesn't say they just want a loving, consensual relationship, that they're just born that way, that they're just like everyone else. No, when the Bible describes them, they're violent predators. Why? Because sodomites cannot reproduce. They have to recruit. Right. That's why it says every single man of the city, both young and old. How come there's all those young people? Well, because they were preyed upon and sodomized by these wicked haters of God. And it says in verse 6, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them, after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Even Lot, who is one of the most backslidden Christians in the Bible, when he finds out that they're wanting to do this disgusting, heinous act, he says, don't do so wickedly. He doesn't say, hey, let's have a pride parade. Hey, maybe, you know, the government officials can celebrate you. Oh, you just don't have equal rights. That's why, you know, you're being violent and raping everyone. No, he said, don't do so wickedly, right? Then it says in verse 8, this is just mind-blowing, this story. He says, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." I mean, this is absolutely unthinkable. That Lot, you know, of course, he doesn't want his guests to be harmed and violated by these wicked sodomites. So what does he do? He just says, hey, here's my two daughters. I have two daughters which have not known man. Here's my two virgin daughters. I'll just give them up to this giant horde of Sodomites, and just hopefully that'll appease them. And you know, when I first started reading the Bible, this was even more shocking to me, but I'm starting to understand that this is reality, because it's not really that shocking that Lot gave up his two daughters to these Sodomites when our whole country is just giving up our whole nation to the Sodomites. I mean, pastors are just giving up their churches to the Sodomites. Cities are just giving their whole city to the Sodomites. Our country's giving them a whole month. And I used to think, like, how is this even possible? How can someone be willing to just sacrifice and give and placate these wicked, disgusting, reprobate, rapist pieces of garbage? But then I just look around, and it just seems like everyone's like Lot today. Wow. And just like, oh, you want to be a terrorist? Oh, you want to threaten us? Oh, you want to come after us with violence? Okay, here's this person's job. Here's this person's address. Here's our church. You can come to church. You can sit in the front pew. You can watch the kids. No problem. Oh, you can adopt kids. You know, in a lot of places in the United States, Sodomites can now adopt kids. You know, this story really isn't that shocking to me anymore. I used to think, like, who would do this? This is crazy. Oh, yeah, pretty much every false prophet in America. Pretty much every weak, cowardly, disgusting government official that is not courageous enough to stand up to the terrorists in our nation. You know, I'm so sick and tired of fake conservative Republicans who get up and act like they're so tough. They're so brave. Oh, we're the party of fighting against the war on terror. We'll go bomb Iraq. We'll go bomb Afghanistan. We'll stand against terrorists. No, you won't, you fake coward liar. Right. You don't stand against the terrorists in our own country. Yeah. They're called the LGBT community. Yep. Those are the real terrorists, folks. What is terror? They want to do harm. They want to give violence. They want to threaten violence in an attempt to get you to change your behavior, yep, to change policy. You know, I've seen this in my own life many times. Back in 2022, when a sermon of mine went viral, these people came after our landlord. We got evicted. We got the letter. The second time we got evicted, the letter's like, one of the employees, Dylan Oz, said blah, 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 and quoted my sermon and evicted us for preaching that. Why did they evict us? Because the Sodomites were all, you know, getting all angry, getting all rowdy, and came after the property company, and they were terrified. They were scared. They were terrorized. Then what happens? You know, you have Sodomites literally coming to my house for 2 years straight, sometimes every single day, threatening me and my family, opening their windows and saying that they're going to kill us, coming by and honking at us, and literally dumping nails, screws all over my property. We have them on video. I have their license plates. I have all the stuff that they're doing. I go to the police, and this is what the detective told me. He's like, are you really sure you want to press charges against these people? Because here's the thing. If you press charges, you're going to get more protests, and the police department is going to get more protests. What is he saying? He's saying that he's afraid of the Sodomites protesting the Hearst Police Department. Bro, you guys are literally the cops. Right. You guys are literally the government. You guys have the power. You guys have the guns. Why is it that I'm not afraid, but somehow you are? Everyone is just afraid of these people in our nation today. And Lot was so afraid of them, he was willing to give them his precious daughters. And people today are so afraid of the Sodomites that we're just willing to give them our cities, our states, our positions in government, our churches, our families, in the entertainment industry. We're just giving everything up to the Sodomites today, and it is disgusting. And anyone who claims to be a Republican or a Christian or a conservative that is not actively standing against the abomination of homosexuality, the abomination of Pride Month, is a complete and utter fraud. Yeah. I have zero respect for any Christian that is an ally for the LGBT community. Zero respect. Amen. I don't care what else they believe. They are standing for abomination that is destroying our world and destroying our country and destroying Christianity. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut to the door. Notice, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So the angels literally blind these Sodomites. They can't see. You know, I don't know about you. If I got blinded, I'd be tapping out. I'd be done. I'd be not wanting to fight anymore, right? But these Sodomites are so implacable They're so wanting to violate people, they're so wanting to rape people and hurt people, that even while blinded, they're wearying themselves to find the door so that they could keep attacking. You know what this goes to show? Is that placating the LGBT community is a fool's errand. It makes no sense to compromise with them because they will never be satisfied. Doesn't matter if they're literally blinded, they're still coming after you. And let me tell you the goal of the LGBT community. It is the destruction of Christianity in America. It is the destruction of all Christian and traditional values. And it is open season on raping your kids. That is the LGBT agenda. Why? Because that's how the Bible describes them. All the men of the city, both young and old. It says in verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, notice, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Notice the cries of Sodom had ascended up into the ears of God, and it had vexed God and moved him so much that God is now ready to nuke this entire city. And you want to know what the cries of Sodom most likely were? It's probably the cries of the young children that were being abused by these terrorists, by these disgusting people. And it's like, how can you sit here and act like you're loving? Oh, you're such a loving Christian, as you support the group of people that are rapists and pedophiles. Like, we're saying get rid of the rapists and pedophiles. We're saying punish those sins. We're not saying endorse that stuff. You are, and you're telling me I'm the hateful one? You're the loving one? You're the accepting one? No, God heard the cry of the children, and he says, you know what? This whole place needs to be destroyed. Oh, you're not very Christ-like. The God of the Bible, the only God that exists, literally burned alive an entire city of Sodomites. He rained down fire from heaven, and he burned them all alive and killed them all. Okay, you claim to be a Christian, then I want to hear you say that God was righteous and just in burning alive an entire city full of sodomites. Because that's the God of the Bible. That's the only God that exists. But you won't even hear Christians say today, oh yeah, in the Old Testament that was right. You won't hear them read Leviticus 20:13 and say, yes, it is true and it was right that God said in the Old Testament that sodomites should be put to death. They ignore that stuff. Why? Because they're fake Christians. That's why. Don't tell me, oh, oh, Anchor's the fake Christian. Pastor Oz the fake Christian. No, no, no. I'm reading to you the Word of God. I'm reading to you the Bible. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm telling what happened in the Word of God. I'll read for you in Jude. Actually, go ahead and turn there. Go to Jude right before Revelation. Because people will say, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was just an Old Testament story. God doesn't feel that way anymore. God has changed how he feels about homosexuals. God loves everyone now. Okay, well, let's look in the New Testament, which everyone wants to talk about the New Testament, right? New Testament, Jude. Verse number 7, only chapter, Jude 1, verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. You know what's a synonym with strange? Queer. Something that's gross, something that's not normal. Going after someone of the same gender, going after children. That's going after strange flesh. So the Bible says Sodom and Gomorrah says, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So the Bible says here in the New Testament, we look back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the New Testament, God says, this is an example to us today. He says, remember that story where I burned alive and killed an entire city of Sodomites? You know what? That's an example of the suffering of eternal fire that is to come. You know, you think it was mean, you think it was crazy when God burned alive an entire city of Sodomites. What if I told you that God is going to burn every Sodomite that's ever existed in eternal hellfire? Amen. Seems a lot more extreme, doesn't it? Yep. Well, welcome to the God of the New Testament. Amen. Welcome to the God of Oklahoma, folks. This is the Bible Belt. Oh, you claim that you're a Christian. You claim you believe the Bible. Well, you better love these verses. Because unlike other fake Christians, I'm not going to hide from the verses that are not popular today and say like, well, that's mean. Oh, well, let me give you the cultural reason why that's not the case. I just say, no, I love God. I love God in the Old Testament. I love God in the New Testament. All of his judgments are righteous. All of his ideas are perfect. And you know, anyone else who wants to change God's ideas, discount God's ideas, you're the prideful idiot. You're the fake Christian. We're actually going to be humble and submit ourselves to what the Bible teaches. Go to Judges chapter 19. You say, that's just one story in the Old Testament. You're just cherry-picking one story about the Sodomites in the Old Testament. Look, folks, any story I show you about the Sodomites is going to prove my point. Because they're violent, they're rapists, they're pedophiles, they are reprobates. Judges chapter 19, the context, there's this Levite from Ephraim. He's going to travel and get his concubine back from his father-in-law's house. And when he's at his father-in-law's house, his father-in-law keeps making him stay. And he's like, oh, I got to go. He's like, no, I'll stay another day. Oh, I got to go. No, I'll stay another day. And he does this for like, I think, 5 days in a row. And he ends up traveling and he goes through Gibeah. And as he's traveling, he's going to abide in the street. He's going to sleep overnight in the street. And there's this old man of Gibeah who says like, no, 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 you're not going to sleep out in the street. It's dangerous. You can't sleep out here. You got to come into my house. I'll take care of you. I'll give you provision. Very similar story as we read in Genesis 19. But let's pick up in verse 22. The Bible says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thy house. Notice that we may know him. Same exact situation. There's some fresh meat in town. There's some new people in town. And the Sodomites, who the Bible says are what? Children of Belial. What does that mean? Children of Satan. Children of the devil. What do? They immediately just resort to violence. And when these people aren't kept in check, when these people have no fear, when there's no one coming after them, when there's no government enforcing laws, you know what? They're going to be extremely violent. And they just surround this house. They beat at the door. They say, hey, bring me that man out so that we can rape him. That's what's going on. Says in verse 23, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, notice, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. So he tries the method of, oh, I can just reason with these people. You know, maybe a soft answer turneth away wrath. Look, a soft answer doesn't turn away a rapist. You know what turns away a rapist is a .44 caliber. That's what turns away a rapist. The soft answer is not going to work. Says in 24, behold, again, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. So again, what do we see? The men that are in this situation, that have the Sodomites coming after them to do physical violence to them, they're just like, oh, here's my virgin daughter, that's a maiden. Oh, here's the concubine. Let me just give up. Let me just submit. Let me just cower. Let me just kowtow to you. And again, I used to read this and be like, this is crazy. I could never imagine. But then I just realized, oh, wait, you want to know why this is in the Bible? Because this is what people do to Sodomites. Because they cower to them. They fear to them. They give in to their demands and whims. And you know what? We need to stop that as a country. As a country, in times past, we used to not cater to terrorists. We used to not put up with this kind of stuff. We used to have the rule of law, and sodomy was actually illegal in our country until 2003. It wasn't until the Supreme Court case in Texas that overruled a bunch of other states' laws that made sodomy a crime. You say gay marriage was a crime? No, no, no. Being a faggot was a crime. Being a homo was a crime when I was a young child, folks. It was not that long ago. When I was a child, being a sodomite was illegal in this country, but I'm crazy. No, no, no. Our whole country used to believe the Bible. That's right. Our country used to fear God a little bit. Seems like now, though, people fear the sodomites. People fear the terrorists, and we just want to give everything up to them. Verse 24, behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out. I'm sorry, I already read that. Verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him, because they're implacable. So the man took his concubine and brought her unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. So notice what happens. These sodomites at first, what did they want? They wanted the men. They wanted to lay with the men. Why? Because they're sick and depraved, and they just want to do the most wicked, abominable thing possible. But this does not mean that sodomites won't also prey on and lie with women. And you know, young ladies today in our country are in danger and are in peril because they've been brainwashed into thinking, well, if he's gay, well, if he's homo, then I'm safe. No, you're not. They will prey on anyone and anything that they can. They put on a facade, maybe, like they're not interested in women. But sodomites in the Bible, they always go both ways. This is why it's so funny when people want to point out, you know, because I say that sodomites are pedophiles. I say that sodomites are rapists. And then people will be like, well, what about that one man who molested a little girl? He's a faggot. That's what I say. Right. Because there's two orientations, straight and crooked.
Right.
There's adult men with adult women. That is straight. Anything else than that is an abomination.
Yeah.
Anything else than that is queer. What does that mean? Strange.
Right. Right.
So people are like, oh, you know, this many percentage of pedophiles are heterosexuals. No, they're not.
Right.
That's an oxymoron.
Right.
Heterosexual is adult man, adult woman. Everything else is debauchery and abomination and disgusting. Because people are like, you know, what about that pastor that abused little boys? Hey, that's one of your guys dressed up as a sheep. That's one of your guys, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because my Bible says that those people should be put to death. And if someone is a Baptist pastor and preys on a little child, that person should be put to death. I'm not hiding from that. I'm not backing up those people. But isn't it so interesting that you call out the LGBT for being pedophiles, and they're like, well, what about all the other pedophiles? It's like, you're proving my point. You're proving my point. Like, what if someone, like, let's just say, you know, your neighbor was busted for burying a bunch of bodies in his backyard. And I'm talking to the neighbor, and I'm like, hey, did you hear about your neighbor? He had like 30 bodies in his backyard. And the neighbor's like, yeah, but what about the other people who have bodies in their backyard? I'd be like, are you like defending this? Are you like cool with this? You know what they're doing? They're just admitting that they're abominable and disgusting and predators. When you defend predators for any reason by pointing, oh, what about the other predators? Yeah, that's a big red flag right there. You won't find me ever defending a pastor that is a predator. I say put him to death. You won't find me ever defending a Catholic priest that molests little boys. I say put him to death.
Amen.
Give him the lawful trial and execute that sucker. You're not going to find me saying, yeah, I mean, my neighbor had a bunch of bodies in his backyard, but what about the other guy who did, huh? It's like, that is a red flag, folks. That is insane behavior. Verse 26, then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, let us be going. Notice, but none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. So the woman died. The sodomites took this concubine, and even though they wanted the men first, they took this concubine and abused her all night until the morning. I mean, that is an insane amount of abuse that happened to this poor woman. Abused her all night until the morning to the point where she was literally dead. He's like, up, but none answered because she's dead. How loving to placate to the LGBT. How loving to give in to their demands, right? Verse 29, and when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. So, you know, this was such a heinous and shocking crime that the guy did a kind of heinous and shocking thing here where he just chopped her up into little pieces and sent the body of this deceased woman to all the 12 tribes of Israel to basically wake people up and show what a horrible crime had taken place. And notice what it says. It says, consider of it. Right? So people are supposed to see these wicked crimes that are going on, and we're not supposed to turn our eye away. We're not supposed to just not have any pity or care for the victims of these horrific crimes. We're supposed to consider of it. We're supposed to actually take some responsibility for it. And then it says this, take advice and speak your minds. Have you noticed today that there's a huge agenda from those on the left, especially from the LGBT, the sodomites, that want to censor speech, that want sermons like this to not be allowed on the internet. They don't want sermons allowed like this on Facebook and on YouTube and on Instagram. And look, if it stays up, praise the Lord. But, you know, people want to stop us from speaking our minds. And the truth is, you know, we're going to keep speaking our minds. And beyond that, I'm not even really speaking my mind this morning. I'm speaking what the Bible says. Not only do they want just speaking our minds illegal, a lot of people want preaching the Word of God illegal. And any Christian, you know, here's the thing. Everything I've said has been proved from the Bible. Any Christian that's offended by the sermon this morning, you're the one that's not right with God. And any pastor that wants to get up, you know, some woman minister wants to go talk to the Oklahoman news and rebuke our church, you're a minister of Satan. Yeah. You're going to hell when you die. You are a false prophet. We're not afraid of those people. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. So again, everything I've shown you so far, what have we seen? That the Sodomites are violent, that they're hateful, that they want to take advantage of people, that they want to rape people, that they end up murdering people. The Bible doesn't paint this picture that they're this nice, sweet, loving people. You know, wake up and read what the Bible's saying today. And then we're going to get even more clear in the New Testament, which everyone's, you know, loving this. Romans 1 verse 20, the Bible says this, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Bible says that the fact that God exists, it's manifest, it's obvious, it's clearly seen. You know, no one has an excuse for rejecting God. But there's people that see that, know that, and decide consciously to reject God and to hate God. That's why it says in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God," so they did know God, "they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So notice, they knew that the existence of God was real. They knew God, but they decided not to glorify him. They decided to reject him. They decided to walk in their own vain imaginations, follow their own human opinions, human philosophies. Then it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know what this is? Pride. Professing yourself to be wise, when in reality, you are a fool. Thinking that you're so great. Thinking that you're so wonderful, but you're not. This is pride. Verse 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Notice this. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Notice what's happening. These people, they recognize God. They knew God, but they don't want to glorify him. They want to reject him. They want to walk in their own wisdom. They want to glorify the creature more than the creator. They want to walk in the lusts of their own heart. And so God does what? He gives them over. He gave them up to uncleanness. He says, okay, you want to hate me? You want to reject me? You want to reject me as the creator? You want to do all these wicked, filthy, abominable things? God just allows them and gives them up unto that uncleanness. Allows them to do all those wicked things that they desire to do as a punishment from him. Verse 27 says, "And likewise," or I'm sorry, verse number 25 says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 26, "For this cause," so because they rejected him, because they hate him, "for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." So notice, women are being changed from the natural use, from just being with men, just the natural order of things, because they hate God, because they rejected God, God's giving up to these what? Vile affections. You know what that proves? That proves that sodomites are not born that way. There's no such thing as the gay gene. There's no such thing as someone being born, being attracted to the same gender. No, you had to reject God, you had to hate God, and then God had to give you up to those vile affections. He had to give you over and allow you to do these disgusting behaviors. And by the way, again, back to fake Christians, anyone who believes the Bible, how does the Bible describe homosexuality? A vile affection. What does vile mean? Disgusting, gross, abominable, filthy, degenerate. It's a vile affection. It's not an alternative lifestyle. They're not gay. Now, it's kind of fun calling them that because they get upset by it. All right, I'm not 100% against that word. But look, what they are, they're vile. They're gross. They're disgusting. Verse 27 says this, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. So notice, after God actively gave them over, God's hand was moving in this situation of allowing them to be given over to a reprobate mind. God's hand moved, and what happened? The men leaving the natural use of the woman. So they were there at one point. Why? Because every single person is born straight. How does someone become a homosexual? Well, they have to reject God. They have to hate the Lord. They have to reject his word over and over. And who knows how many times that is. It could be different for different people, depending on how much truth that person's been exposed to. But there can come a point where God just says, okay, you want to reject me, you want to hate me, you don't want anything to do with me, well, then I'll just give you up. I'll just give you over. I'll allow you to do these vile affections. And it's a punishment from God, folks. Verse 27, men with men working that which is, notice, unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. So they receive a recompense or a payback or a punishment for their error. So this is God's active hand, God's active punishment moving against them for hating him, for rejecting him. God gives them over to these vile affections, and they receive that recompense of their error, which was meet, which was fitting. Then it says in verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So notice, first of all, the Bible teaches that homosexuals don't want to retain God in their knowledge. So the LGBT Christians of this world, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the inspired words of God of Romans chapter 1 that says that sodomites don't even want to retain God in their knowledge? Or are you going to believe the lying lesbian Methodist minister that tells you she believes God? Who are you going to believe? You know what? You're blaspheming God, and you're blaspheming the word of God when you sit here and take the word of some sodomite, of some lesbian, over Romans chapter 1. Over the words of Paul, which are really the words of God. The Bible says that sodomites don't even like to retain God in their knowledge. There's no such thing as a gay Christian. There's no such thing as an LGBT saved person. It does not exist. They are all liars, 100% of them. And I don't care how many of them tell me, no, I believe in Jesus. No, I believe the Bible. No, actually, you don't. You're a liar. Because the Bible says you don't even want to retain him in your knowledge. Then it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate means a person rejected by God and without hope of salvation. That is literally the dictionary definition of reprobate. And that's also how the Bible uses it. Stay there. Jeremiah 6:30, the Bible says, reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. So there you go. The Bible's defining reprobate as someone who's rejected by God. So they hate God. They reject God. As a result, God rejects them and gives them a reprobate mind. Notice, to do those things which are not convenient. You know what that means? To do things which are not natural. All of us as human beings, we are all tempted with the same natural sins. We all have the same sinful, fallen condition, and every single human being is tempted to lie, is tempted to steal, is tempted to cheat, is tempted to be prideful, is tempted to lust. These are all common sins that every single person struggles with. But you know what? Normal people, people who are not psychopaths, people who have not been given over to a reprobate mind, you know, you don't struggle with being with someone of the same gender because it's not natural. See, look, even married, godly men could at times struggle seeing a woman that's not dressed appropriately and lusting after her, and you have to repent of that. You have to avert your eyes. You have to work to not do that. Why? Because it's natural to do that. But no one struggles lusting after the same gender because it's not natural. You don't have to, like, work at it. You don't have to try at it. It's just, it doesn't happen because it's not natural. It's like, you know, unless you're like Pastor Jones or something, you don't really struggle with shooting up a building. You don't really struggle with fantasizing of shooting up a grocery store or shooting up a school. It's like the only people that do that are like sodomites, queers, and apparently Pastor Jones by his own words. And you think I'm kidding? No, he literally talks about how when he's not filled with the Spirit, sometimes he thinks about, you know, shooting up a whole building. It's just like, okay, wow, that's spooky. But you know what? Normal people don't struggle with that. Thoughts never cross my mind a single time. And every single person that would do something like that, it's just manifest, this is a reprobate. This is wicked. And it's like, okay, you see some person shoot up a school? How much do you want to bet that it was a tranny? How much do you want to bet that it was a member of the LGBT community? And the news media always loves to, you know, hide these facts. Where's the Nashville Manifesto? How come that wasn't blasted over every gigantic conglomerate media source? Oh, yeah, because it was a tranny that shot up the school. Just like every time, pretty much, is some tranny, and every time for sure it's some reprobate. Then it says in verse 29, this is one of the scariest verses regarding reprobates. You have to really understand what this is saying. Verse 29 says this, being filled. Those are two words you should underline in your Bible right there. Being filled with what? All unrighteousness. Here's the scary thing about psychopaths, about reprobates, about sodomites, is that every single day that they are alive on this earth, they are becoming worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, just kind of like how if you get saved and you decide to walk in the Spirit, if you decide to read the Bible, if you decide to go to church, if you decide to start soul winning, your spiritual life is going to improve. You're going to get more mature over time. You know, if a child is born, you feed them well, they exercise, you know, they have good nutrition, you're going to see that child grow with time. Okay, spiritually, it is the same thing for a reprobate. When someone is given over to a reprobate mind, let's just say day one of whatever day that was, that they got given over to a reprobate mind, every single day that they're alive on this earth, they're being filled with more and more and more unrighteousness. How much of it? Being filled with what? All.
Right.
All. Amen. Unrighteousness. Name any sin. Name any wicked thing you could possibly imagine. Sodomites are being filled with those things at all times.
Amen.
Every single day. These are the worst of the worst criminals that exist on the planet. Because, you know, obviously wicked people get caught up in crimes. You have gangs and things like that. But not 100% of those people are reprobates. But people who are reprobates, people who are sodomites, those people are being filled with more and more unrighteousness every single day. Then the Bible goes on to give us a list of how God feels about these people. You know, it's kind of like, bro, tell me how you really feel. Okay, God's going to tell us how he feels about the homosexual. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. I mean, that's pretty much just restating unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, oh yeah, by the way, wickedness. Covetousness, they're never satisfied. They're always wanting other people's stuff. Maliciousness, once again, just kind of reiterating, can't speak. Full of envy. How about this one? Murder. Full of murder. Being filled with murder every single day. You know, just look at my text messages and my voicemails and my email address, and you'll see the ones who are really calling for murder. You know, newsflash, I've never called for murder, and I never would call for murder, but the sodomites call for murder all the time. Debate, deceit, they're liars, they're tricksters, malignity, whisperers. Oh, they love to do this. They love to go behind your back. They love to try to get you in trouble. They love to try to lie about you. They love to backbite you. Whispers, backbiters. Here's one, haters of God.
Yep.
Oh, I'm a Christian. And I stand with the LGBT. I'm a pride-affirming Christian. I'm an ally. You're just saying, like, I am with the haters of God. I am on the team of those that hate God. And you know what? You are an enemy of God yourself. When you stand with people that hate God, let me just give you a little help here. You yourself are an enemy of God. And I am not going to sit here and be lectured by fake Christians, fake pastors, fake news media outlets that's going to look at Anchor Baptist Church and say, this is a cult, these are fake Christians, this is a fake pastor. Excuse me while I stand against people that hate God.
Right.
I mean, isn't the whole point of being a Christian like being on God's team, being on God's side, being with what the Word of God says, being on Jesus's team? It's like, here's a whole group of people that the Bible says hates God. Not what Pastor Oz says, not my opinion. The Bible says that they hate God. Here's a whole group of people that hate God, and I'm going to stand against them. It's like, what an unchristian thing to do. You are a retard.
Yeah.
Like, are there any other areas of, like, how do you even eat a meal without stabbing your eyeball out? You are an idiot, my friend. You think standing with haters of God makes you a good Christian. No, it makes you a fake Christian.
Right.
And Americans who actually used to believe the Bible always knew that what I'm saying right now is just common sense. Haters of God, despiteful. Oh, here's another one, proud. We definitely see that. Boasters. Here's one, inventors of evil things. I mean, what a wicked concept. Like, just sitting down, let's just create something wicked. Let's just think of something evil. Let's just think of a new way to harm people. Inventors of evil things. That's what sodomites do. Disobedient to parents. Boy, have you seen the influence of the LGBT in our society today, influencing kids to be disobedient, rebellious, disrespectful to their parents. It says this, without understanding. You know, you could dead sure see this when they try to talk about the Bible. They have no clue what they're talking about. They have no understanding whatsoever. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's why they go after children, because they have no natural affection. Every single person in here has natural affection, not only to their own children, but to any child. You know, if we saw any child in danger, we would immediately do everything we can to help that person. If we saw someone harming a child, we would immediately do everything we can to stop that from happening. Why? Because we have natural affection. We hear a baby cry, it's natural in our body to have empathy for that baby. Not so with sodomites. No natural affection. Implacable. Can't reason with them. Unmerciful. Notice this. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, when you actually understand the scope of the way that the Bible describes sodomites, and we see every story, they're hating people, they're molesting people, they're violating people, they're killing people, they're criminals, and then you go to the New Testament, and the New Testament gives us more commentary, and it's like, oh, by the way, it's not just those two stories in Genesis and in Judges, they're actually just being filled with all unrighteousness at all times. And it just begs this question. It's like, okay, well, like, what do we do with these people? Like, what is the solution for these people? Well, in the New Testament, it says in verse 32, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, notice, are worthy of death.
Right.
That is a Bible verse in your New Testament. Right. That, oh, not just Leviticus. Oh, Leviticus says they're to be put to death. Yeah, it does, and that's true, by the way. But here we are in the New Testament, and the Bible says that sodomites are worthy of death. Let me tell you what our country would do if we actually feared God, if we actually loved God, if we actually loved the poor and innocent victims that are being harmed and hurt by these sodomites, is that these people would be charged with homosexuality, they would be given a lawful trial, and they would be executed by the government.
Yep.
They would be killed by the government. That's the loving thing to do.
Amen.
And I will prove that to you with the word of God. Go to, if you will, Leviticus chapter number 18. It brings me to my third point, and I'm going long this morning, and I don't care. Number three, sodomy is a capital crime. Sodomy is a capital crime. What you have to understand about homosexuals, it's not just a sin. There are sins, right? You know, lusting is a sin. But there are also sins that are crimes as well. And the Bible makes sure we understand these things. Let me show you Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Okay, so God's saying, you're not allowed to do this disgusting thing. It is an abomination. Then notice what else he says in verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. So in God's eyes, bestiality and homosexuality are not that far away from each other. And let me tell you, they're not. They're both disgusting. It says, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. You know, being for the LGBT, you know, if a pastor's like gay affirming pastor, it's like saying, oh, I'm a woman lying before a beast affirming pastor. It's like the same exact thing. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Notice, this sin defiles the land. It destroys nations. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the fact that we, instead of lifting up righteousness in June, we lift up the most disgusting human beings on earth, that is a reproach to our city, to our state, to our country.
Amen.
Then go to Leviticus 20. So we see Leviticus 18, sodomy is an abomination. Okay, then fast forward to Leviticus 20, verse 13, the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So God's perfect word, and you know, I'm tired of Christians criticizing this. This is God's inspired, inerrant, perfect word of God that we just read. In Leviticus 18, the Bible says, abomination. Leviticus chapter 20, the Bible says, put them to death. It's a capital crime. And then people will come out at you with, well, what about love your neighbor? What about loving your neighbor, bro? What about loving people? Okay, go back just one chapter to Leviticus chapter 19. I don't think it's a coincidence how God gave his law here. Leviticus 19, verse 18. The Bible says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the people or the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And people say, what about loving your neighbor? Yeah, what about it? It's in Leviticus chapter number 19. Right. You know, you act like that's a New Testament quote. No, no, no. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament law when he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And guess what that teaches us? That teaches us that the death penalty for capital crimes is not incongruent with the idea of loving your neighbor. In fact, the death penalty is love. The death penalty is love, and I will prove that. But it's not a coincidence, folks. It's like sodomy is an abomination. Love your neighbor, put the sodomites to death. Execute the sodomites. You know, it's telling you that love is not mutually exclusive from the death penalty. And let's prove that. Let's go to Romans chapter number 13. Let me tell you something. People who disagree with that, I will prove to you from the Word of God that you don't even know what love means. You don't get to just decide some arbitrary definition of love. The Bible tells us what love is. And let me tell you what love is not. Ignoring pedophiles and rapists and violent haters of God and exalting them and letting them live and ruin our country, if that's your definition of love, you're a demented person. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You know what love is? Not harming people. Not surrounding people's houses demanding to rape people. Not raping all the little kids of Sodom and turning them into these predators. No, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the Old Testament. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Oh, it's so unloving to have the death penalty. No, no, no. By definition, it is loving to have the death penalty. Because you know what is unloving? Allowing a group of people who harm individuals every day, who are being filled with more unrighteousness every single day, allowing them to just continue to be wicked, unchecked, that is unloving. The Bible says love is the fulfilling of the law. You know what that means? Love is the fulfilling of Leviticus chapter number 20, verse 13. Amen. That is the loving thing to do. But flip back. Romans 12 says this. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. What's that saying? Don't have a fake love. You know what that tells me? There's a fake love out there. There's a love that claims to be love but really isn't. Then it gives us an example. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. If you have a real godly love, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hate evil. You're going to want to fulfill the law of God. I'll read for you Matthew 5:17. Jesus said this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. You know, people say, oh, we're in the New Testament, so nothing in the Old Testament applies anymore. All of the laws have been abolished. None of these things matter anymore. No, Jesus said, I've not come to abolish the law. He hasn't come to get rid of the law. He's come to fulfill it. You know, there's certain carnal washings, carnal ordinances, holy days, Sabbaths. There were animal sacrifices. These were all things that were pictures of the coming Messiah that Jesus fulfilled. And when Jesus fulfilled those things, once the time of Reformation came, those things specifically were abolished. But the whole Old Testament was not abolished, folks. I mean, think about the stupidity. Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross. Therefore, you know, thou shalt not kill no longer applies. We're free in Christ, bro. You can't judge. Can't judge, right? Oh, stealing is fine. Are you mad at me because I stole? The police? You can't arrest me. We're free in Christ. Don't you know that Christ died on the cross? Christ did not die on the cross to abolish the moral law. He did not die on the cross to abolish the criminal law. Those things still stand. That's why in the New Testament, the Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. What the Bible teaches is that one of the main functions of the institution of human government is to punish evildoers. That's why the Bible says that he bears not the sword in vain. You know, let me make something very clear. I am not advocating, nor have I ever advocated, nor would I ever want people to take the law into their own hands and just start going and killing sodomites. Just like how if someone in our city committed murder or committed rape or committed kidnapping, would it not be okay for one of us to just hunt that person down and just kill that person? That would be wicked. That would be wrong. I do not advocate for murder of homosexuals. What I advocate for is a lawful legal system, a criminal justice system, in which on our statutes, on our law books, it is a capital crime to commit the wicked sin of sodomy, and that if someone does it, that the police would arrest that person, that they would go through all the fair legal trial, that they would get their attorney, that they would have their day in court, that they'd have a jury of their peers judge them, and if they're convicted beyond a reasonable doubt, if they've actually committed this crime, that they would be lawfully executed by the government, just like we do with certain murderers and other situations in our country. That should be the law of the land for sodomites. I'm not saying that I'm going to go kill a sodomite. I'm not saying that any sodomite has anything to fear from me unless they're trying to kill me, because I'm never going to go after them. I'm never going to harm them. I'm never going to promote violence whatsoever. That's not what I believe. But I believe it's the government's role to do this. And that's not violence. That's just what our system is in place for anyways. And, oh, why do you single out the sodomites? Hey, because it's a big issue in our day. And last time I checked, we don't have, like, Rape Pride Month. We don't have Murder Pride Month. We don't have, you know, Kidnapping Pride Month. We have a Gay Pride Month. And it's a capital crime in the Bible. And I believe in the capital punishments for rape, for kidnapping, for murder, for all the things that the Bible gives those punishments for. But obviously we're talking about sodomy because it's a big issue in our day. I want to make something very clear. And you know, the woman that wrote the story about our church, this is what I gave her. Hey, you want a statement from us? Here's our doctrinal statement. We believe all of the capital crimes listed in the Bible, which have not been explicitly done away with in the New Testament, like the Sabbath, should be the law of our land today. We believe those accused of crimes should be given a full and fair trial, and if found guilty beyond any reasonable doubt, should be sentenced to death and executed by the government. Failure to do so results in a violent and dangerous society with little to no justice for the innocent victims of horrific crimes. Anchor Baptist Church vehemently condemns all individual acts of violence and vigilante justice. Human government is a God-ordained institution with a solemn duty to protect man's natural rights and punish evildoers. Individuals should never take the law into their own hands. So look, anyone who says that, oh, Pastor Oz is calling for murder, that's a lie. That is a wicked slander. I've never called for murder. And anyone promoting violence, calling for violence on people, I do not stand for that. I'm against that. I believe that the government should be taking care of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. So we talked about how sodomy is a capital crime in the Bible. Lastly, this morning, number 4, Christians are called to reprove sin, not celebrate it. You know, tell me you're the fake Christian without telling me when you're sitting here and celebrating sin and another group of people are the ones calling it out and reproving it. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible instructs us that we are to call out, we are to preach against, we are to make known the wicked, unfruitful acts of darkness of this world. In verse 12, it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, you want to see who the fake Christian is. It's the one that's avoiding the light. You know, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why are Christians today not wanting to hear the light of God's word? What the Bible says in the Old and New Testament about sodomites is because they themselves are wicked. They themselves love darkness rather than light. They themselves are the fake Christians. Because real Christians, hey, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, just celebrating pride in and of itself shows that you don't know the Bible, shows that you don't believe what the Bible says, and then celebrating an abominable sin, a capital crime level sin, goes that much beyond that. And again, it's like, why are we sitting here celebrating sin? Like, there's going to be pride celebrations in our city. There's going to be pride parades in our city celebrating the sin of sodomy. Not even just allowing them to exist. Not even just not bothering them and not having God's law in our land, but actually celebrating sin. Any Christian who does that is wicked. Any Christian who does that does not know the Lord, does not know the Bible, and you are the fake Christian. It is the same exact thing as being like, hey, let's have a curse your mother and father pride month. Let's have a blasphemy pride month. Let's have a bestiality pride month. Let's have a rape pride month. Let's have a murder pride month. We're going to get all the people in death row who have just senselessly murdered people. We're going to put them down the street. We're going to clap for them. We're going to change our profile pictures for them. We're going to make a flag in the honor of beastophiles. We're going to make a flag for them and celebrate them. And then you know what we're going to do? Anyone who's against it, we're going to have news articles where we try to get them fired from their job. And if you don't cater to the murder pride month, to the beastophile pride month, then you're going to lose your job. You're going to get on the news. You know what? Nuts to this nonsense. Right. What has gone wrong in our country where we have Christians celebrating sin rather than reproving it? It's because they're fake. It's because they're wicked. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. Be more like Jesus. Well, we'll talk about that a lot tonight. Be more like Jesus. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, the Bible says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him than a millstone, that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Sounds like Jesus backs up the death penalty as well. When he says, hey, if someone would offend a little child, if someone would harm a little child, it would be better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Look, you can act like God is on your side, you know, these pride-embracing Christians, but let me just give you a sneak peek, is that Jesus Christ is the one who kindles the fire of hell. Jesus Christ is the great judge, and Jesus Christ, like he burned alive Sodom and Gomorrah and killed every single one of those sodomites, Jesus Christ will burn all of these sodomites in hell for all of eternity. And when you stand for pride, when you stand for Pride Month, when you stand with the LGBT, let me tell you who you are standing against: Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. And you want to know why I'm not afraid of being in the news? Why I'm not afraid of whatever these sodomites want to do to me? Is because I am standing with Jesus Christ. Amen. I am standing with the Word of God. Anchor Baptist Church is standing with the Word of God. And you know, I'd rather be among the humble than among the wicked, prideful people. God's going to bless that more. Last verse we'll go to is Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, verse 26, the Bible says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I am not ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anchor Baptist Church is not ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. Here you go, news media. We love your article. We're actually framing it as a trophy at our church. Amen. Because we're not afraid of the words of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of them like these fake Christians are, like these fake news outlets are, like these fake Christian, Republican, conservative politicians are. You know what? You guys are the ones that are ashamed of the words of Christ, and Christ is ashamed of you. I don't care if the sodomites are ashamed of me. I don't care if the world is ashamed of me, because you know what? Jesus Christ is not ashamed of me. And Jesus Christ is not ashamed of Anchor Baptist Church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we love your word no matter what people think about it, no matter who blasphemes it, no matter who comes against it. I pray that you'd always give us boldness to stand with your words, to not be ashamed of your words, no matter what the world tries to do to us. Help us to thunder forth your word and to exalt it to Oklahoma City, to our state, and to our nation. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.